Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. We are so grateful that you are here, and we hope you enjoy this message.
Amen. All right, everybody can have a seat. We are excited that you are here this morning and got to participate. I just love communion. I'm on a cord here. That's my bad. I love the intimate act that we get to come together and do that. And I just love the picture that at one time Jesus was standing with his disciples in the upper room. And that was kind of his last little moment they came together and had this special bond to partake together. And so it's just a great reminder of what God has done for us. And so today we are finishing up our series called Better Together. Last week, if you missed last Sunday with Stephen's message, man, I highly encourage that you go back and listen to that on the podcast. It was just an incredible, spoke volumes to me and my heart and what God was doing. And so you can catch that on our podcast online. My mic's not working. I'm kind of loud though, right? Yeah. So you can catch that on our podcast. My name is Daniel Cazeneve. I have the honor and privilege to be the pastor here at the Bridge Church, along with an incredible, incredible team. And in fact, our children's ministry there in the back, they're having a nice little fun little party back there, little neon balloons, and they're going to be celebrating all that God has done in the past and then what God is going to do. So they're having a fun celebration just to end this Better Together series. And so it's really cool to be a part of that. And today I want to start off a little different. I want to start off and I want to read the scripture that we're going to be looking at and talking through today. And then we're going to dissect it a little bit before we get going. But it's here in Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13 is where we'll be. And if you have your Bibles or a YouVersion, if not, we're going to put it on the screens for you as well. No problem there. And Luke chapter 13, we're going to start in verse 18. And this is what, this is Jesus speaking. And actually, he's speaking to some of the Pharisees, Sadducees, the religious leaders of the day. And he's trying to give them and paint them a picture here. So verse 18, if you guys are ready for the word, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you guys like to talk back, that's cool. Just conversation, like, hey, that's what I'm talking about. There you go, Daniel. That's me. Or, hey, that's for you. Whatever you want to do, you're not going to make me feel uncomfortable. Just make me feel like we're in this thing together. So verse 18, it says, "Then Jesus asked, 'What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches.' Again he asked, 'What shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough.'" And if you're reading that and you hear it for the first time, and you just kind of scratch your head and go, "Do what? What you talking about, Jesus?" Like, that's okay. The first time I read it, I was like, man, like, what is this? But it's been so incredible studying for the past few weeks over this topic and just picking it apart and seeing what God is speaking and saying here. And so we're going to be talking about the kingdom of God. And I've entitled this message this morning, Mirror, Mirror. Caleb brought a little mirror up right here. We're going to use that a little bit, but mirror, mirror. If you're taking notes, I always encourage you to take notes on the backside. We're going to throw some points up on the screens just to help us remember and to move forward in what God has called us to do. But I'm going to pray for us and then we'll be ready to roll. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for each and every person that's here. I pray that we will just open our hearts, open our minds, God, to what you would have for us. I pray that I will decrease so that you may increase, God. I pray that you will speak to our hearts in an abundant and clear way, God. I pray that you will make this relevant to our situation, to our circumstance, because we love the Bible and we love how it speaks to us today in 2018. We love you and ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. So you see, we got a little mirror here, and we're just right here checking it out. And we use the mirror in the mornings. Well, I guess sometimes, right? Some of us may use the mirror. Some may do our hair together. Brad may not do your hair like me, but you comb in your beard, right? And so we use the mirror to get ready in the morning. You know, so we may walk up and look at it and be like, "Ooh, man, girl, you look good," right? Like just kind of peppering yourself up, or you may start talking to yourself and say, "Oh, I know." Or you may look at it. You may look at it a lot of times like me and go, "Ooh, I don't know if I should really wear that." Or I'm not a fashionista, okay? So sometimes I'll put clothes on and my wife will go, Daniel, that does not match. Like, what are you doing? You can't go outside in public like that, wearing black and blue together. You can't do that. I don't know these rules. You can't wear brown and black together. And so she's teaching me. She's educating me on some of these. But sometimes we can get together, right? And we're looking in the mirror, and the mirror does what? It reflects, right? It shows us a picture of what is there, is what is in front of us. And if we look at our relationships, we're in a series called Better Together, right? And we believe that, and we believe that God's Word teaches that we're better together. And I want us to look at today, as we're closing this series, what do our relationships reflect? What do we reflect when we're talking and communicate with the other? What do we reflect when we're in the community? When people are around us, what do they see when they're looking at our relationships? And sometimes for me, I get convicted. Because if somebody were to look at some of my relationships, I'm not the best. I know I'm like the pastor, and like I'm supposed to be like raising up in the morning to go like, praise you, Jesus, right? And I'm supposed to skip around. But there are times when I feel like I don't rise to the occasion. There are some times in my marriage when I feel the tension, or I feel the stress, right? Or I get angry because of something that happened at work, or I am a highly competitive person. And so that drives me to want to achieve. And if I'm not achieving, I get stressed, and then the stress builds up, and then it boils over into my other relationships. And the thing that I've noticed, I don't know about you, but there can be times when outside situations can control my attitude. When something around me happens and I notice, like, man, that just made me angry. Like, that just made me irritated. Or like last week, we had a little bit of a crazy hurricane. Like, hey, it's coming. Hey, it's not, right? Like, back and forth, interruption. And some people left. Some people came back. Or maybe something happened at work. Your boss comes in and says, hey, don't forget about this. Like, this needs to be done. I know you thought 2 weeks from now, but actually tomorrow. We need it done tomorrow, right? And all of a sudden, the weight and the stress begins to build up. Or maybe you're trying to move out and start something new. And you're just looking ahead and saying there's so much to get done. And all of a sudden it feels like it just builds up and the pressure, and it creates different attitudes. And sometimes we can get in our relationships, our attitude begins to leak out into those relationships. And I don't want my relationships to reflect anger. I don't want my relationships to reflect heartache. I don't want my relationships to reflect if you do well, if you act right, then we're good, right? Like, I want people to know that I love them unconditionally, and we're going to work through problems together, but it doesn't always add up that way. And I believe that Jesus teaches us something here. Jesus gives us some huge life principles. And he says, you can reflect something different. You can reflect something in your relationship that actually people outside of this Christian world, people inside of this Christian community will look and go, wow, that's pretty awesome. That's almost like we were designed to live that way. Like, it makes sense. It works together. It clicks. And Jesus begins to teach. And he's saying, hey, if you want to know what the kingdom of God is like, he says, I'm going to give you a metaphor here. I'm going to give you an example of what this looks like. And when he reads it for the first time, you're like, wait a second, Jesus, you're talking about mustard seeds, you're talking about yeast, you're talking about like all these different things. It's like, what are you really talking about? And I just want to show you how important this is. In Acts chapter 1, we know that Jesus died on the cross, and then 3 days later, he rose again. That's pretty amazing, right? Like, that is the hinge point in Christianity. That is the main thing that nobody can disprove, and everything about our religion hinges on that moment. And when he came back to life and he lived with his disciples, he spent time with them. And in Acts chapter 1, I want to read this together. Acts chapter 1, verse 3, this is what he says. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, and this is how big it is. And over 40 days, I mean, he just came back to life and he's about to go back to heaven, sit on a throne, and he's got 40 days. And this is what he chose to spend his time talking about: the kingdom of God. He said, the kingdom of God. That's so important. Like everything that we've been talking about the last 3.5 years, we've been walking together. I've invested my life. I just died on the cross. All these things. But what I want you to get, what I want you to realize, what I want you to reflect right now is the kingdom of God. So that's a pretty big deal, right? It's for us to focus and for us to grind down on. And we look at these couple of verses where Jesus actually is so clear. Well, kind of clear, right? Like he gives us a metaphor, a story, and he gives us a picture of what the kingdom of God is like. And we're going to read this again. It says, "What is the kingdom of God like?" And I love Jesus because he asks a question. You know, I look at Jesus' life and all how he connects with people and how he has conversations. He asks so many questions, doesn't he? He knows the right question to ask. And let's be honest, he's Jesus, okay? Like, he's creator of the universe. He knows the answer to the question, right? It's like when my wife asked me, "Now, Daniel, are you going to wear that?" Right? Like, she, I know the answer already to that question. And Jesus is asking so that we will kind of lean in a little bit and listen in. And he says, "Hey, do you know what the kingdom of God is like?" Actually, it's like this. It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches. So I went on Amazon, because that's how we shop now, right? And got me some mustard seed and some yeast, because I needed to see it. I'm a visual learner. I need to be able to see it. I need to look into that. And this is a bowl of mustard seeds right here that you can see. And Jesus uses a lot in the Bible. And so I picked out one mustard seed, and I'm struggling to hold it, and I got kind of fat hands, whatever. And so my hands are squishing this seed. But I want you to look here. If you're in the back row, you probably can barely see. This is one mustard seed that's in my hand right here. And he's saying, hey, the kingdom of God. And if you read Revelations like chapter 5, and you see that there are like beings just created to fly around the throne of God and to sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," and the amazing throne and the elders sitting around the throne and just the picture of heaven. And then he goes, hey, you know what kingdom of God is like? This little mustard seed right here. And he says, when you take this little mustard seed and you plant it in the ground and you begin to nurture and till the soil, it grows into this tree. And it not only grows into this tree, the birds come and they sit inside of this tree and they hang out right here inside of this moment. And the first thing I want us to get here is that Jesus wants us to believe big, but start small. Believe big, but start small. That, hey, that this mustard seed is so tiny. He's like, the kingdom of God is so grand, it's so amazing, but listen, zero it in to this mustard seed. And this is where it begins. And later we read that if we have faith of a mustard seed, right? Like Jesus is teaching, then we can move that mountain. He's saying, this is the amount of faith we need in comparison. The faith in Jesus said, I will take over from there. But when you and I believe big, and we're thinking about in the context of our relationships, like I want to believe big about my marriage. I want to believe big about me and my wife and what God wants to do and how he wants to bring us closer together and how we want to relate to each other. I want to believe big. I want to believe in 90 years old, we're sitting on the porch getting mad at each other because the weather's wrong, right? Like I want to believe big that God uses our marriage to reflect the kingdom of God so that when people look at our marriage, they go, God's in that. That's the only way that can happen. Like, I want to believe big when I walk into work and my coworker, my boss are walking by me. I want to believe so big that revival can happen inside of my office. That when I walk in, the Holy Spirit goes with me and I can interact with those people in a way where they go, this cat is different. This guy functions differently, right? But if we look at that, and we even think about our kids or think about the people we go to school with and the people we interact with on a daily basis, we can believe big. We walk into the classroom, we go, woo, God's about to change this classroom, right? Like, I'm here. We believe big. But so many times, if you're like me, I'm a dreamer, vision. Like, I love the big picture at the end. But it takes knowing and being willing to say, you know what? Start small. What act of obedience is God calling us to do today, right now, in this moment? If I want my marriage to be strong, it may start with me waking up. My wife doesn't drink coffee, but making her a cup of coffee in the morning, right? And having it ready. She walks out, she sees that acts of service and goes, wow, thank you. That is awesome. And then the next day, right, like I wake up and I get to do something else for her. Or my wife hates doing the dishes. And you'd be like, Daniel, there's nothing spiritual about doing the dishes. You don't know my wife. And so, but But we see that, right? That opportunity that we believe big, but be willing to start small. And we're walking into our coworker's place and we sit down next to them and we notice that they're reading a certain book and you don't even maybe don't even like those books. And you open it up and you begin to kind of learn a little bit more about them, ask them questions about their life, what's going on, and all those different things. You're like, well, that's just a small conversation. But that small conversation starts the relationship that can build into something further, can build into something bigger. And even with maybe our kids, and there's so many times where I feel like I've missed opportunities because I'm waiting on like, yeah, when we're 18, we're going to serve Christ together. We're going to high five, chest bump. It's going to be awesome, right? But right now, how can I start small? How can I, maybe I can walk into their bedroom at night and just pray over them. Say, God, I want you to bring a hedge of protection over them. I want you to bless them. I want you to move in their life. I want you to open their heart to the gospel to receive the message of Jesus. Or maybe we have somebody in our classroom that we just start praying for them. And we just say, God, just please, I just need the opportunity to grow in that relationship with them, to build, to walk with them in that moment that I see. And we see that Jesus is teaching us, he's saying that, hey, we can believe big. We can believe that God can do something incredible. And one of the reasons we planted this church here in Bluffton is because we believe God wants to bring Beaufort County, Jasper County, and bridge these two counties together. And I honestly believe, that we can see a revival over the entire United States that can start in the Lowcountry. That's believing big, right? Like, I honestly, in my heart, believe, because people are coming from Ohio, coming from New England, all around the world. We have young people, we have older people, we have all these generations that can come together. We got young families, we got people who have been through life and can walk through, and we can come together, bridge together. And I believe that God wants to do something so incredible that people in Ohio go, what's going on in Bluffton? Like, there's a revival happening. God is moving, God is speaking. He's using young people, he's using mature people, he's using middle-aged people, he's using all these young families, and they're coming together in this unique unity. But it takes starting small, right? I have to start small and go, if I believe revival can happen, I got to introduce myself to my neighbor, right? I got to go, hey, how you doing? My name is Dan Casney. And I don't want to tell them what I do, because then they're like, oh, hey, I'm a... But to introduce to my neighbor and get to know them and to be willing to start small. And I don't know what your small is, but just to pray and say, God, what... I believe big for the relationships around me, but for me to grow and to see God move, what is a small way that I can start? Last week, Stephen shared that maybe it's a letter that you need to write, a word of encouragement, apology, a text, a phone call, whatever that is. How can you start small? And Jesus continues to go, and he shows us this mustard seed, right? This tiny little mustard seed. And he plants it in the ground, and he says, the farmer, and I love how he puts the growth of the seed, and he doesn't separate it from the laborer of the farmer, right? The labor of the farmer. He puts them right together. He says, when the farmer works and tills the land, we see the growth and the tree begins to grow, right? And we see that invested faith brings growth. Invested faith brings growth. When we believe in something, we invest in it, right? Like, I believe I want my home to add equity, right? Like, I'm going to invest in my home. I believe in my relationship, so I want to invest in that moment. And if we look at the truth that Jesus has given us, that relationships will not grow without intentional investment. Have you noticed that when we wake up in the morning and we get busy, I'm like brushing my teeth, I'm getting everything ready, I'm the kids. You know, we have four kids, so we're just running around like herding cats trying to get ready for school and all these different things, get them dressed, and boom, we get in the car, open the door, I love you, bye, have a good day, right? And they jump in and jump out, and then we're going to soccer, and all these things begin to happen. And at the end of the day, I think back and go, man, did I have an intentional conversation today? Did I stop and ask and say, hey, tell me about this. Tell me what's going on. But what I've noticed is if I don't think about it, if I don't plan for it, if I don't allow myself to be intentional about it, then it doesn't happen, right? And if we think about our relationships and faith, one of the things we are passionate about here at the Bridge Church is small groups, because we believe that community happens around that circle when we get smaller. I know it's a little bigger in here and there's more people. When we can get together about 10 or 12 people in a circle, we can share what's going on in our life. We begin to pray for each other. We see that because we can be intentional, right? But if we don't accidentally walk into a small group, right? But we have to be intentional. We have to pray about it. We have to believe big that God wants to do something. And we have to believe so much as saying, hey, it may be a little different at first for me. I've never been in something like this, but I'm willing to, because I believe I want to have stronger relationships. I want to have those community people that will be with me, to walk with me, to celebrate life with me, that when something goes down and I don't feel like I can carry myself, they will walk with me. Like, but I have to be intentional. I have to be willing to invest in my faith, my family's faith, my friends' faith, all around me. I have to be intentional to do that, because if we're not intentional, we don't see that begin to happen. And we see this principle happen even in the book of James, right? He says that faith without works is what? Dead, right? He's saying, hey, if you truly believe something, then our actions begin to follow that. If I believe that this is going to happen, then boom, my actions are going to follow with it. And I'm going to continue to move forward and intentionally invest in the relationships that are around me. And as this continues here, and as we think about the mustard seed, and then he goes to verse 19. Verse 19. And the last portion of this metaphor that he uses. It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds perched in the branches. This is a really incredible picture, that this tiny mustard seed planted in the ground, the farmer believed big that this was going to be a tree, a bush. Like, I believe in it so much that once this goes in the ground, I can't even see it, right? There are going to be actions that we do that nobody will see, that you won't see the fruit from, I won't see the fruit from, because they're so small, but yet so intentional. But our job is to continue to be obedient, continue to plant, continue to grow, continue to work the soil. And all of a sudden, we begin to see a tree grow out. And I love this, because the tree grows and it blooms, right? And this bush grows and it grows to the point to where it starts to help the other things that are around it, right? Like, it's not just a seed anymore. It's a big bushel. And now the birds can live in this. Like, the birds have an opportunity because the farmer said, I believe in this so much. I'm going to plant it and the tree is going to grow. And now other people are going to see that, and birds begin to grow. And all of a sudden, the blessings that we receive and experience from walking with God, other people, it overflows in our life, and other people get to experience that, not because of what they have done, but because we have decided to follow Christ. And grace is overflowing grace. I wish I had this big like bucket of water that I can pour, because sometimes we think about God's grace and it's like, oh, I'm going to fill you up a little bit. I'm going to fill you up a little bit. But take this bucket and we just dump it out and pour it out. And it just overflows where we can't even contain ourselves. And we say, God's love is that big. God's love is that deep that it loves us so much. That's why I love that song, Reckless Love. Because there, that picture of this pursuit that Jesus loves you so much that he's not willing to give up. And we see this so much even in Peter's life. Peter tries to run. He tries to take his own way, and God just keeps showing up. God just keeps showing up and meeting Peter right where he's at. And I believe that we can show a world this overflowing grace, and that when we receive God's grace, we then can extend God's grace. And we can show people, and all of a sudden our coworker, or maybe even our kids or our spouse, and they say, wow, I noticed that you didn't respond the same way this time as maybe we did a few years ago. But you showed me grace. You treated me a little differently. They may not be able to articulate the word grace, but they say, you gave me another chance. Why did you give me another chance? We're able to tell them because God showed me grace. And grace is overflowing. Grace received is grace extended. In this moment, we can see God do incredible things. And I want to close with this story, and then this last thing, that I believe if we do these three things, that we believe big but start small, and we see experience God's overflowing grace, and we invest in our faith, we see God do incredible things. And I remember being in seventh grade. And so I'm 32 years old now, so I know it's like crazy old. And just kidding. But I remember seventh grade, I'm sitting in class, and I'm one of those students, I'm sorry, all my teacher friends. I'm trying to finish my homework sitting in my desk, and I'm trying to sneak. I got my book out, and I'm sitting at my desk. I'm trying to write. I'm trying to listen, and she's my seventh grade science teacher. And I recognized, I don't know how quickly she saw me, but she walked up to me. This is all she did. Small. She reached down, leaned over the desk, and just got real close to my ear and said, "Damn." I was real big into sports then, so I played a lot of different sports. She's like, "Damn, I know you got a lot going on. You got a lot of practice happening right now. Just take about 5 minutes, finish up that homework, then we're going to jump back in, okay?" Now, I remember the exact words she said to me, right? And I remember how, like, it was seventh grade. I'm 32 years old now, and that super small act of kindness. And I went back to her years later. I just said, "This may seem so insignificant to you, but you said those words to me, and you could have ridiculed me. You could have yelled at me. You could have threw my book across the room." Like, I had a teacher like that. But, like, you could have done all those things, right? But you showed me grace. You met me where I was. You showed you that you loved me more than what was in front of me. And I still remember it today. That small act, but I believe she believed big, that her job was not just a job, but an assignment by God, but a purpose to show overflowing grace, that she get to walk in and our relationship grew in an abounding way right there. And Jesus closes with this illustration. He says, "The yeast that the woman took and mixed it in about 60 pounds of flour," so you got a ton of flour, "and he took the yeast and mixed it into the dough." And we all know when you start to mix it into the dough and you start to cook it right, the dough begins to what? Rise. The dough begins to rise, and soon it turns into bread. But dough by itself is just a lump of dough. We can't eat it, like nothing's happening to it. But when you take that yeast and you stick it into that dough from the inside out, the DNA begins to change, and it begins to grow, and it begins to grow, and all of a sudden it becomes this big, beautiful piece of carbohydrate bread, right? Like sitting right there in front of us. And God is saying that when the grace overflowing comes inside of our hearts, and we see heart transformation, not just behavior modification, but our heart begins to change and our grace begins to overflow, and we believe so big, but we want to start small, and it changes who we are, our DNA, and all of a sudden it begins to rise, and we see this bread begin to manifest in our life. Jesus was the bread of life, right? We see that Jesus begins to manifest in our heart and in our life, and people begin to look and say, "Man, can I have what you have? Can I have a piece of that bread?" And I'm not talking about bread anymore, but I'm talking about the Word of God. I'm talking about the truth that He gives us, because the truth will set us free. And people want to know, because they say, "Wow, you're free. Man, wow, you have purpose. Wow, you have community. Wow, you have people around you. Can I have some of that? Can I walk with you? Can I check that church thing out? I mean, it was ever since you started going, you're a little different. Like, it was like you act different, like you interact with people a different way." But it's for us saying, "Hey, I believe big, but I'm willing to start small. And I got to be intentional and invest in my faith and the relationships around me. And I just get to show overflowing grace." And all of a sudden, we see God's influence go viral inside of our lives and the lives of the people around us. Because God wants people to see that we're better together, we're stronger together, and that God unites us all. So my question as we close is, what's your small? What's your step? How can we take a step today to reflect the kingdom of God inside of our relationships? What relationship is God speaking to your heart about? Is it, "Hey, I need to be intentional, and I'm going to sign up for a small group"? Or, "Hey, I need to be intentional to be here on Sunday morning so that I can be fed by God's Word, so I can meet new people, so I can be in community together." Or maybe it's the small of, "Here's my act of kindness. Here's my," whatever it is, I'm not the Holy Spirit in your life. I believe God can speak and direct in those moments. But let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you and love you so much. Thank you for your son, Jesus, who died on the cross for us, God. God, that you are the bread of life. And you give us everything that we need. You are our provider, God. You are our counselor. You are our hope. You are our freedom. God, your word says that you are the way, truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through you. I pray that over this room today that we know the way, we know the truth, and we have life in you, Jesus. I pray that we may continue to walk in community together. We may grow together. We reflect the kingdom of God in every relationship that we have. Speak to our hearts. What is our small, God? How do we start small? How do we? What are you calling us to do? I pray that we'll be bound together by the gospel. We love you and ask this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand and worship together.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Thank you for visiting us for this podcast. If you would like more information on The Bridge Church, please visit us at www.thebridgebluffton.com.